Cast our crowns before thee. Jesse, thanking you for the love that you had for him, and sending your only son into this world that he might die on that cruel cross, Calvary, that we may have a home with you in heaven someday, if it be thy will. We ask your prayers on, and your blessings on those who have lost their loved ones in heaven. We pray for them that they can be comforted, only you can comfort them. We pray for those whom it be our duty to pray for this day. We pray that your blessings be on all that needs the blessings in this congregation and in other congregations. We ask your blessings on our leaders of this nation, that you will look after them and give them the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to make decisions that will be to your benefit. But we know that you're the emperor of this whole world, and that you're the king and the only one.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that you will look down on us with mercy and bless us, keep us safe. And when this life here on this earth is over with, give us a home with you in heaven, if be that we in Christ, your Son, in the name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
A week ago, I emphasized the way that we can be people who avoid the temptations of life. And that's by our prayer life, our spiritual being, person, being renewed from day to day, and being more spiritually minded, and a positive thing about the way that we live from day to day. This morning, I went to the idea of the negative side of it, how that we cannot blame God for our trials and temptations. James, in reference to that matter, he said, let a man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of the Lord. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither doth he tempt any man. We cannot blame God with the temptation that we face in life. We can come back to the Lord. We can come back in repentance and prayer to the Lord, and that's the way for us to do. The Bible teaches us clearly that that's what Simon did in Acts chapter 8. And to his credit, he was a man who said, pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've told will come upon me will happen to me. He didn't want those things to take place as he faced this in life. When we talk about this particular thing, we want to talk about the ways of life that we live. And today, when we want to talk about this tonight, I want to go to the writing in which, in Galatians chapter 5, in which Paul deals with the idea of bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and how he tells us that we know that the Spirit is within us, and how that we can go that particular route. He says in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we find ourselves thinking about God's presence over our shoulder, and God is with us as we go forth from day to day, instead of becoming irate when somebody passes us on the highway and mad in spirit and want to run them down and all that sort of thing happen in our lives, we realize that God is with us. We're walking a spiritual walk. We don't have to go that fast. We don't have to be that dangerous. And we can pray for those individuals to safely get to their destination instead of being in the trees as they go by us. Or we can have a situation where there is something that suddenly appears before us, whether it's by way of the internet system or by way of the ways in which we do things in life, there are certain temptations that can come our way. There may be pictures that are there. There may be suggestive words that are there. It may be a mannerism in which we find ourselves seeing that which we didn't intend to see, but it's nevertheless there in front of us, but we pause enough to say to ourselves, there was no reason for us to pause. There was no reason for us to soak that in. There's no reason for us to be that kind of person. God is with us, and God does not want us to be that way, and we're walking spiritually. And we could pray for that individual to see the vanity of this ways of the flesh, the ways of the ideals, and to come away from that way of life. And let us be people who teach others and show others the way of life that we live. He goes on to say in Galatians 5 and verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." He's saying that we think about God and we think about the spiritual way of life, and we love God and we find Him to be present in our walk. And yet there is abiding conflict. We are facing that which is of the flesh over and over again, trying us and tempting us. And we're facing once again successful overcoming that of the flesh, because we're still walking in the spiritual way of life. But it's a situation whereby we cannot find ourselves getting complete freedom from the temptation that we face. And so it is the case that we need to be the people who, as he says in verse 18 in Galatians 5, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." The idea of the old law was a part of the Galatians' life. And the old law system of the animal sacrifices, they had a view in mind that when they sinned, they could offer that animal sacrifice and that accomplished what they wanted to have done. They didn't have much thought about it, much mannerism about it, much love for that beast about it. They just simply would do that offering. They got into a ritual type of habit. And as a result of that ritually doing that, then they were thinking about just when I can make that offering so that this will be all right. And so they were thinking that way. He says, verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And here's the works of the flesh he's speaking of. The adultery between married people and involved with a married person involved. Fornication between those who are not married at all, have no commitment other than the sexual events one with another. Uncleanness, the idea of leading our lives into witchcraft and things of those natures. Or lasciviousness, being a person who follows a way of life, thinking that that's the way that we can have victory over it and we can go with it for a period of time and God will forgive it and everything will be fine. No, this is a way of life that he doesn't want us to follow. Idolatry, just a little bit of idolatry in our lives. How much can we have? Witchcraft in our lives. How much witchcraft can we have? Hatred and variance and emulation and wrath and strife and seditions and heresies and envyings and murder. Just a little bit of murder in life. How much can we have? And drunkenness and revelings and such like. All of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We studied enough to know and realize on our Wednesday night study, and a good study it has been, that the church of our Lord, we're members of the church, and that as members of the church, like members of our body, we need to behave in such a way that we help that body. We help that response. We don't harm that response. We don't keep that response from taking place. We want to have every member to hear as it hear, and eyes see as we see, and do as we do. And that's the way of our lives. We want to have every member be faithful. And ultimately, we will be rewarded in the eternal kingdom of God. For that's what he notes. If we add to our faith virtue, and that's Peter's words in that regard, if we add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance, patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, if we do this in abundance, we do it in a sensitive way, in a positive way in our lives. We do it and we want to do it. We wake up in the morning, we want to be that kind of person who adds to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance. We want to be that kind of person before we go to bed at night and sleep at night. We want to remember the Lord, remember His presence in our lives. At the same time, He says, if you do these things in abundance, so an entrance shall be administered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. We're in the kingdom now in regard to the identification of the church. and membership in the church. But we'll go on from this membership. We'll go on from being faithful members and our bodies being the members, faithfully serving our cause. But we'll be a person who goes on to the idea that we find the eternal side of the kingdom. This is earthly side now. We do this and we plant people in the cemetery. But they are assured that they will be resurrected, called back from the dead, and go to the judgment bar of God. At that judgment bar of God, there will be an evaluation of how we added to our faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. How well did we do that? Did we do it with abundance in our lives? Did we make an effort to be that kind of person? We should be able to say, yes, Lord, I made that effort. The Holy Spirit should be able to say, yes, that person made that effort. For he bears record with our spirit that we are the children of God. In Romans 8, when he says that regarding the Holy Spirit, he says he's going with us day by day, hour by hour, place by place. The Holy Spirit is there. There is a situation where what we do in life may cause the Holy Spirit to back away from us, to not be there with our lives. But hopefully the idea is that we will be like Simon. We'll be repenting and praying that God will forgive us of that matter. We'll be okay. We'll be restored. And the Spirit will bear record with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we are people coming back to the Lord and coming back to His right way and doing the right things with Him. That's the way of life that He says for us to follow. And what will happen in our temptations of life? They will less be powerful over us, less diplomatic ways of our ways of ignorance in life. We will find ourselves doing God's will and God's way and being strong over that matter. Look what he says in the next couple of verses there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. No one wrote a law that forbidded us from being a loving people, a joyful people, a peace-seeking people. No one wrote against us being long-suffering, gentle, good, just doing good things. Just being good. Having faith and meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. And he says further, they that are Christ, we belong to Jesus. We're possession of Jesus Christ. We were baptized into his death and raised with him to walk in newness of life. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, Paul writes, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved to sin. We left it back there a long time ago. We left it in the waters of baptism. We left it when we obeyed the Lord. And when we left that way of life, it was a good and godly thing. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And keep in mind the verses of the Scripture do not always sanction things. And so you can go on what we know is chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. And look what he said. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Think about yourself, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill not the old law, but the law of Christ. He says, this is the way to live. This is the way to do. And will you take care of temptation? Yes, you will. If you follow that way of life, you'll follow that way successfully in life. We talk about these good things and godly things. We talk about the way that we talk to others. Family, friends, members of the church as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2 to verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. He goes on to say the following about that, and it deals with the temptations that we face. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. What's he done? He's tempted us, and now then he has captivated us. By a temptation to which we've yielded, we've given in to it, we've said, well, I just won't have a victory over that at all. I just always will be in this way. I won't repent and pray God's forgiveness, like Simon did there in Acts 8 and 20. I won't be that kind of person. I'll just bear it up and bear it up and bear it up. I hate the way that I've become. Paul said that he hated the way that he had become in the law. And thank God that the only way of victory was through my Lord Jesus Christ. Did he say he could have victory? He said he could, if he came back to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what if he stayed away? What if he was so mad at himself that he just would not agree to humble himself and come back to the Lord? What if he just decided he'd stay out there? He'd still had his problem. He'd have still been rejected. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank my Lord. I thank my God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's victory. There's victory. When we find ourselves following that way of life that is ungodly and not right, we find that temptations will be the betterment of our lives. And doesn't have to be. God has made and assured us that He will forgive and He'll grant us a great help and strength to overcome. I go down to James in reference to this matter. And in James chapter 4 and at verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, good manner of life, his works with meekness of wisdom. And if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every kind of evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit right off the bat? Peaceful. If we let the Spirit of God bear in our lives and thank Him for the work in our hearts and giving us the peace within, we'll sleep better in the daytime and at nighttime as well, and we'll do better from our friendships and talk with others and visit with others. He says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If my intention is to have peace with others, then I want to have peace within myself. And when I have peace within myself, I'll have peace with others. I'll make peace. I'll do the kind of things that make peace be the way of life in my family, in my marriage, in the community where I live. I'll be known as a person who becomes a person of peace. That's the way James wrote. They're closing out James chapter 3 in this reference. But once again, I want to remind you of a question that he asked. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation, the good manner of life, his works with meekness of wisdom. This is the wisest way to go and do. What is wisdom itself? Well, it's been defined and described by a lot of various people. It's not just knowing what's right to do, but wisdom is the ability to go ahead and perform it. Do it. I think about my knowledge and lack of knowledge in regard to electricity, which many of you know a good bit about. But I don't go up to any kind of electrical unit before I first find myself a meter to tell me if that is a live, active piece of electricity wire. Otherwise, when I reach into it, what will it do for me? It may shock me. It may get my attention. Get away from here. And it may throw my hand back. I understand from those who deal with high-rise electrical lines that there is such a surge in that line that a person, if he doesn't have his gloves on and have his way of getting to it, just with a naked hand, will be sucked into it. He'll be pulled into that electrified state. There are some who find themselves having that problem. What kind of wisdom that is from above do I want to have? A wisdom to get as close as I can to the temptation and the struggle and the trouble. And believe that I'll have the time and opportunity to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry about that way of life. I don't want to live that way of life. But instead, the wisdom from above is the kind of wisdom that gives us peace and shares that peace with others. What a good thing. Song of invitation provided tonight. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, think about our relationship to the Lord and our times of prayer together and our love for the Lord. And that way we can be people in times of trial and temptation who have victory over the tempting ways of life. Would you come as we stand as we sing?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear
my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Come and cross and follow, follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, with Him, all the way. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him, with Him, all the way. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll grow with Him, with Him, all the way.
Heavenly Fathers, once again we gather around this table to remember Your Son that died upon the cross. For the suffering and the pain that He bore on that cross for our sins. For this love, Father, that reminds us of the body that hung there on that cross, we pray that the ones who partake of it will do so in a manner to be pleasing to Thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Continuing, I thank Thy Heavenly Father for this cup, the fruit of Vine, which represents the blood that was shed upon that cross. Again, Father, we pray that the one who takes of it will do so in a manner to be pleasing to Thee. In Jesus' name we pray.
Do we have any other announcements we need to make this evening? Let's turn to number 141. Mm-hmm. 141, and that's the song, J.L., would you lead us in prayer? Mm-hmm. Guide me, O thou
great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Go be with Thy powerful hand.
Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
Father in heaven, we're so thankful to be for this opportunity.
Amen.